Good morning, you people. It is Saturday morning. I am not Jim Valley. I am Pat McNeil, Pro Wrestling Torch columnist, filling in for Jim this week as Jim continues the latest part of his vacation in the Virgin Islands. We are talking about Saturday morning wrestling. We are talking about the wrestling you grew up with and some of the wrestling of today. And we are very privileged to be joined by a legendary professional wrestler, a man who is a big part of championship wrestling from Florida and world championship wrestling and even the World Wrestling Federation. Please welcome to the program Bob Cook. Bob, good to have you on.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on. Nothing I like more than wrestling.
Yes, you do. I think all of us do, all of us over a certain age. It is kind of weird, though, in 2016 that we live in a time where you get up on Saturday morning and there's not pro wrestling on. I mean, naturally, you can go watch the WWE Network or watch some of your DVDs or what have you, but there's not an actual Saturday morning wrestling show anymore. And that's very different from what I had growing up, and I imagine what you had growing up.
Actually, I watched wrestling on Saturday nights. 7 o'clock, WTBS Channel 44 out of St. Petersburg, Florida. Championship Wrestling from Florida started in 1975. That's when I first started watching it. But I started at night.
Oh, okay.
And then I watched the replay on Channel 40 at noon on Sundays, and then on Channel 20, Saturday afternoons at 1 the next week. So I watched the same show 3 times because you didn't have VCRs back then, you know.
Okay.
I mean, what are VCRs? I don't even know what they are.
They don't really exist, and they don't really exist much anymore. I mean,
you can buy them though. It's weird. You can actually go to the store and buy one.
Well, and you can. I think you can even still get tapes for them too.
Yeah, I would hope if you can buy the VCR.
Yeah, I would certainly hope so too. All right, but you watched your show, and you did have three times to air it, you know. But there's not much wrestling on over the air television anymore. I think Ring of Honor is the only company that really does it.
Pretty much, probably on a national basis, I would imagine that's about it. Well, TNA,
yeah.
Right? But you mean as far as like syndicated stuff?
Yeah, as far as local, syndicated wrestling. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of the cable channels air wrestling on Saturday morning. It is different.
But yet there's more wrestling now than ever.
That's true. That's because wrestling has moved to prime time. See? It's now.
No, you have more outlets to watch it to, different places to watch it.
And that part, I think, is good. But one of the reasons we're talking here is because we're about a month away from our friends in the WWF once again redefining. They're going to be redefining themselves. They're going to have two different brands, and some would say with NXT they have three different brands. And right now is an interesting time to do it because in terms their core business, at least their core television business, the ratings are down, and there are a lot of reasons why. I mean, I suspect, I don't know how you would have felt if in 1975 there was a three-hour wrestling show that aired every Saturday night and it was replayed twice on Sunday, but it probably would have changed a few things, especially if it's the wrestling that that we watch now. Now, obviously, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. But what attracted you to professional wrestling in 1975 when you started watching it?
Well, first of all, I was watching it through the eyes of my youth, so, anything could attract you back in those days. But it was just, when I first fell in love with it, was the first time I saw it, and it was just something different. It was like I thought I discovered something that very few people knew about. I was like, where has this been all my life? I mean, it had everything that a 12-year-old kid wanted, it had comedy, it had violence, it had drama, it had the craziest characters, people that you didn't see walking on the street, but knew that they were real people because they didn't break kayfabe back in those days. Characters, engulfed your imagination immediately.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something, that's definitely something I think is missing today. I mean, you can argue that the wrestlers you see on Monday night and Thursday night are, they're still outrageous. They're still outrageous characters, but they're not, it's not the same as watching a Terry Funk. You might be very well watching guys that you could meet, in a supermarket or walking down the street.
Well, I mean, obviously nowadays, if you met those people, they're not like they were on TV. And I don't really know if they would have been back then either, if you would have met them out about away from the atmosphere of wrestling. Like if you'd have met Terry Funk or Ox Baker or somebody like that in a supermarket, I don't think they would have been the same character. But no, I didn't have an opportunity to see that.
Right.
So you just believe they were who they were. Terry Funk's the nicest person on the planet. So was Ox Baker. I mean, he's one of the funniest guys ever. Something you wouldn't think, a guy that looked that mean. And you believe that as a kid.
Definitely had the look of somebody who did that sort of thing.
Right.
Well, the mystery's been lost because, you know, kayfabe has been broken. But they also think that part of it is just the easy access of information, because I can't imagine, you know, I can't imagine the secrets of the business would have stayed intact even if they hadn't, you know, dumped on kayfabe in the late 80s.
Not if you had the internet like you do now at all.
You know, how do you relaunch wrestling in such a way that it, you know, that because I don't think the current trend is going to end very well for WWE. Sure, you can claim it's cyclical, but they have so much product out there. It's kind of hard to get, you know, unless you're putting on a very special show, it's kind of hard to get excited about one piece over another piece.
Yeah, especially lately. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I try to be positive when I watch shows. The brand split come up, I think, is a huge mistake. Obviously, I could be wrong, but after all, into the genius, right? People don't perceive the guy in the business as stars. Guys like Kevin Owens, too, I've loved him. You know, I think he's a great worker. He really puts in effort. He's not a star like the old times, you know? There's nobody that's really that standout star that draws you in. There's a lot of great wrestlers. Bring all those guys up from NXT, Zane, all those, and they're great. But in the eyes of the fans, they're not going to draw out.
I think the formula of modern wrestling needs to change, because if you have the same, you know, you have the same guys wrestling the same other guys on television every week, and with 3 hours a week, you're not exactly, you know, you're showcasing the same guys every week. It's kind of hard to get people excited about seeing the same, you know, just seeing the same thing again. And if you're presenting it the same way you have for almost 20 years, you know, if people have seen, I mean, there are no reruns, but if you've seen the same bit where Triple H and Stephanie are bad guys, then it does kind of feel like a rerun.
Yeah, I mean, I usually don't have a problem with the same matches if they're good. Seen in Owens that last year that were just off the page really good.
Yeah.
They're good matches. I mean, I know it gets tired after a while, but what are they going to do? Split the brand up. They're going to bring up a lot of guys from NXT. They're going to probably hire a lot more people.
I guess the next question is, how do you get back to making someone into a star?
When you think back of when guys became stars, they were all kind of like, look at the draw, right? I mean, Steve Austin became a star. Okay, Steve, come on, we're going to make you a Stone Cold Steve Austin. I want you to act this. I want you to do that. I want you to do this. He just started acting a certain way, and people got behind it and went with it.
I think another issue is you might go, you know, I mean, you're talking about Terry Funk. You might watch a couple of years of television before you ever see Terry Funk lose a match or be made to look less than strong. And, you know, nowadays, you know, pretty much half the guys, on a good night, half the guys are going to be made less than strong. And, you know, depending on the booking, it might be more than half the guys.
Yeah. Well, they don't have the beat-em-up matches anymore. Which I think is definitely not the answer. I mean, if people aren't watching the shows when you have guys against the top guys, they're not going to watch. You can't bring that back to make, you know, make them look strong. Who really knows the solution? I mean, I think you just got to keep trying things, but you got to quit saying things that work.
Now, there's been a lot of argument over whether wrestling can learn. You can learn something about promoting wrestling from watching UFC and other mixed martial arts. And I think on Raw they deliberately sort of go the other way and you know, oftentimes try to make it not like a real fight, how a real fight would be presented in pit.
I mean, I hate the fact that they intertwine UFC or the UFC style into pro wrestling. You know, the guy who teaches the striking
MMA
guy who's never been a pro wrestler, he's the guy who's teaching everybody how to punch. Because for some reason, I want people to make it more believable, which doesn't make any sense to me, because pro wrestling fans accept for what it is. They don't care that it's not like UFC, because it was like UFC. They just watch UFC.
I can make a punch look believable by really punching someone. I mean, that sort of defeats the purpose of what you're trying to do here.
Wrestling is not that, and it shouldn't be that. And, I mean, the thing is, if you're trying to teach guys how to punch more believable, however, I don't know how you do that in UFC, but then you have like AJ Styles when he attacked John Cena, and it was all great. You know, he had intent, you know, so the head looked great. John Cena's laying there after about 40 punches to the head, not one mark on his face. So if you want believability, that's not believability, you know. Punches look great. would have traded so much drama and believability to that that it would have been off the page because he would have been left there a bloody mess. Like, you know, and they really punch you in the face. So Vince wants reality, but he doesn't want complete reality.
Right. Well, yeah, there's that. And you also have, you know, we don't want violence on the wrestling program because, you know, advertisers, they advertisers want a PG show.
But what is a PG show? I mean, hitting a guy with a chair in the back is no different than hitting a guy in the face. And the intention is there to hurt the guy if you're looking at it from a realistic standpoint. You know, you're hitting guys with steps. You're hitting guys with kendo sticks and all kinds of other stuff. It's just a different part of the body. They should go back to the way they were before. It's like, this is our product. This is what we offer. And if you want to be part of the ride, jump on. If you don't, jump off. If there's always somebody that'll be there to jump off. We give you blood and guts. If you don't like it, jump off the ride, you know, like you used to do. That's one thing I liked about wrestling news. It was your own rules. They didn't care what anybody said. They answered for themselves. If you didn't like it, you didn't like it. But if you loved it, you loved it. You cared and you watched.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's about money. It's about sponsorships.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly, and also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip. If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else. Editorials you won't find anywhere else. Live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched. And so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the livecast. In between livecast listens or while you're listening to the livecast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com. Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast.
All right, so let's get back to 1975 and the wrestlers that sort of attracted you into the business and kept your attention on television. You talked about Terry Funk, and obviously he stood out for, you know, I mean, he stood out for not only what he could do in the ring, but, you know, for his gift of gab, his ability to sort of bring people into the picture mentally.
Right, you believe that he was a bad guy he portrayed. You know, he didn't necessarily come out and portray a bad guy, you know, like the heel. He portrayed he was the guy. He was the guy. He wasn't a bad guy. He was the guy. And he could do it because he was a legitimate tough guy. And he had the assassin who was awesome, and superstar Billy Graham, who was, you know, super awesome, and Don Morocco and the Brooks Girls. It was just a great time to be a wrestling fan. Not that I didn't know anything, of course, because I didn't know what the other wrestling companies were, but
yeah,
I only read about stuff in the wrestling magazine from other country, other, you know, other areas.
Yeah, but if you're excited about your area, that's, you know, that's what counted.
Right, and the only thing that bothered me, or I couldn't figure out when I was a kid, is I'd buy the wrestling magazines, and you'd have, like, Joe LeDuc here would be a good guy, and you'd read he was being a bad guy in Memphis, and they're going, I don't understand this. Joe LeDuc, he's managed by Sonny King in Memphis, but Sonny King is fighting against him in Florida? I don't understand. I couldn't figure it out. You know, as a kid, it's like, what's this about, you know?
Yeah, that's I mean, they're trying to keep kayfabe, but, you know, if you're doing anything that's, you know, if you mention any legitimate stuff that's happening, people start asking questions.
Right. Well, you know, back in those days, you just didn't know the difference. And like in '78, John Studd was feuding with Blackjack Mulligan in the Carolinas, and Mulligan was a babyface, but he came in and had a bull rope match with Dusty, just a one shot deal at the Bayfront Center, and Blackjack was the heel. And as a kid, I was just like, you know, fight is a good game in the Carolinas.
Okay, so let's see. So yeah, you talked about that. You attended. When did you start attending the shows?
About a year after I started walking, probably at 76, right up the road from where I live. Vince Ford, the event was Dusty Rhodes against Jerry Mahler. Of course, it was sold out. My dad hated it, but he knew I loved it. Other areas, you know, Sarasota, Fort Myers, St. Pete every month. And when they later on to rest in those places, it was even better, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so when you first started going, what feuds do you remember the most?
Well, you always had Terry Funk and Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, I mean that is, you know, still the tough part of wrestling. You try to, you know, trying to create that sort of seamless transition when, you know, stuff is taped ahead of when it's actually going to air.
Yeah, I mean, back in those days, I mean, it didn't happen a whole lot, but, you know, when it was that fresh and you had, you know, LeDuc on the show and it happened Wednesday and Saturday, you kind of had to go with it. You couldn't just wait till people saw it.
Right.
But it was just great stuff that I remember. And Dusty had his awesome feuds with Ernie Ladd when he turned heel down here. And I don't really like Dusty, but he was the main guy when it came to who he feud, Harley Race and Dusty and Flair and Dusty. And in 81, when they brought Jerry Lawler and Terry Funk's feud from Memphis to Florida, I thought it was the greatest thing I ever saw in my life.
Obviously, you're watching the athleticism, but you mentioned you're into the characters and the guys who can, you know, articulate what they're going to, why they're angry at this guy, what they're going to do to this guy, you know, and they get you and they talk you into the building.
Right, exactly. I mean, I don't think that's, you know, they don't do that as much anymore. And what I always was drawn by the Terry Funk character, a lot of other heels were that way too, but Terry Funk was my favorite. A lot of heels play the coward here. I always hated the coward. Like Larry Zbyszko is a great worker, but I hated.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can have some guys who are cowards, but, you know, eventually you have to have some bad guys who are tough. Otherwise, you don't really have, you know, much to work with.
He calls Terry a coward, a yellow coward, whatever, and Terry's like, oh, yeah, and they fought. That's what I loved about Terry Funk. And I know there's other guys like that, but he was just the best at it, in my opinion. You believed he was a bad guy.
Okay, so, and then you got into the business and you got to work with both of them.
I never actually worked with Terry. I got to be in a battle royal with him once. The one thing I remember about Terry was in '89, it was actually the night before he went and attacked Flair. I was standing by the curtain. It's the first time I ever noticed him do this. We're talking, he's sitting on a forklift, and the security came over, told him he had to get off the forklift. Terry just gave the guy a dirty look and told him to buzz off. He didn't even think anything of it. Treated the guy like crap, basically, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And went back talking to me. And then we were watching a match by the curtain, and we're talking. And a little kid came up and asked Terry for his autograph, and Terry was really mean to the kid. Told him to get lost. So mean to that kid. He goes, Bob, if these people see us back here walking through the curtain, and this little kid comes back, they're not going to believe that I'm the bad guy when I get out there in front of them. So what he was back that day, and they're here of the kayfabe, treated people who part of the show, and you believed he was a bad guy.
Yeah. And nowadays you got people who are good guys who, you know, who won't sign autographs and act like jerks, and bad guys who stay after and sign everything.
Well, you see guys all the time, baby faces and heels, they fight and sell t-shirts and pictures, and it's not as much fun in my opinion. I like being the heel, and when Terry did that, I wasn't ever the nice guy anyways when I was, you know, playing the heel. But after I had Terry told me that, every show I ever did, independent shows and crap, I was the same way, you know. I would be a complete people who are part of the show.
All right, Bob. Well, listen, we've had a good little talk. I want Bob is available via social media for those of you who want to sit under the learning tree. Bob, tell people how they can contact you on Facebook, Twitter, that sort of thing.
Well, I think Twitter, I don't go there very often. I know everything I post on Facebook somehow goes up on Twitter. I guess I set it up and didn't even know it.
Yeah,
but
very
yeah,
clever
like,
of you.
EvilEye1 on Twitter. EvilEye1.
As in Evil Knievel.
Evil. Right. And actually, for you trivia buffs out there, was the name of Evil's yacht in the 1970s. One of his yachts.
Okay.
But then, of course, on Facebook, I'm just Bob Cook. There's a lot of Bob Cooks on Facebook, but only one Bob Cook that spews the rhetoric.
Yeah, you'll be able to tell pretty much right away if you found the right Bob Cook on Facebook.
Yeah, I usually have something evil themed on my background, what do they call that, cover photo or something?
Yeah, the photo, yeah.
Usually.
Exactly. Your profile photo. Thanks again, Bob, and we look forward to having you back on one of the other live casts in the near future.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on.
Hit it.
Hello, you people. Today is Wednesday, December 2nd, 2015. I'm your host, Pat McNeil, bringing you today's installment of the longest-running weekday episodic pro wrestling podcast in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, formerly of World Championship Wrestling and Championship Wrestling from Florida, and one of the legends of Florida wrestling, please welcome Mr. Bob Cook. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem. Good to have you back. Actually, our staff put together the Bob Cook theme song, so if you'll just bear with us for a moment here.
I've never spent much time in school, but I totally it is plenty. It's true, I hire my body out to pay. Hey, hey.
Yes, it's the theme from The Fall Guy by Lee Majors, but it's still a fine song. It's great to have you back on, seriously, Bob.
I used to like that show, even though it was horrible after I watched it now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's the way a lot of 80s shows were. All right.
Andre
the
Giant was on that once, you know.
Yeah, he was also on $6 Million Man. He got on a lot of shows.
Yeah, BJ and the Bear.
Yep. Andre was...
And just to feel at home, because I'm an old wrestler, I just took a shot of steroids and I'm doing some other drugs and I'm going to be drinking myself into a drunken stupor later.
There you go. Bob Cook, ladies and gentlemen. He's in town all week. Okay, 646-721-9828. Let's... Bob, what have you got? I mean, usually guys come on and talk about their projects. What are you working on presently, Bob?
Let's see. I'm working on deciding what I'm going to eat for dinner, although I am actually going to work out in a little while because I have a friend coming over to work out with me. I think I'm going to have chili tonight, though.
An excellent choice. All right. Let's see. Now, I know that you have occasionally been known to comment and have opinions on what's happening in professional wrestling and what did happen. And you did manage to watch Raw, on tape delay yesterday. Can you give us some of your impression?
I wasn't that impressed. You know, okay. I don't know. I try to focus on the positives more than the negatives because everybody else is looking at the negatives, and who wants to be like everybody
That's
else?
True.
Because I'd just be a moron like the rest of them. But I try to focus
right.
on the positives. Sometimes I get moody and I'll watch the show and just, you know, everything will just rub me the wrong way. And I don't know. It seemed to me like last night for me, but Monday for the rest of the real world.
Right.
There's a lot of just more talking. And I mean, I don't know. It's just you spend 15 minutes of the first part of the show just yapping. I mean, every week it just gets boring. over-scripted, overthought promos, or I don't even know if you call them promos, just rambling as far as I'm concerned. The stuff with the New Day at the beginning and Sheamus and all this, just like, yeah, I wanted to poke my eyeballs out and shove needles in my ear. With steroids in them, of course.
Well, of course. All right, so we might be kind of on the same page here, but let's see, have you been following any of the other wrestling that's out there? There's TNA, there's Ring of Honor, there's New Japan, which somebody will probably be calling and asking about. The indie circuit around here.
No, actually, I haven't watched TNA in a long time, and usually when I watched Ring of Honor, I did it with a noose around my neck and on a chair, but I quit watching that too because I got so heavy I couldn't find a place in my house to put the noose. But, and I don't have the channel that you get the Japan show on.
New Japan World or AXS or...
Whatever it is, yeah.
I get that.
I never watched much Japanese wrestling anyways unless Terry Funk was wrestling.
I don't think he's wrestling in Japan currently.
He is on YouTube anytime I want.
That's true. Okay. Well, we're going to take a break from all this positivity and go to the telephones here, 646-721-9828. It's all very simple. We'll kick things off in the 862 area code. 862, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Bob Cox.
Kylan from North New Jersey.
How you doing, Kylan?
I'm very well, Pat. How are you doing this week?
Doing fine. Do you want to say hi to Bob Cook? He's our guest.
Of course. Hello, Bob.
Hello. How you doing?
Very well, sir.
All right. What are your questions, Colin?
Okay. My first question for you, Bob. During your time as an enhancement talent in the wrestling business, did you ever specifically request to work with a specific talent, or did a specific talent ever go to a promoter and request to work with you?
Okay.
That's a no. I mean, I can't speak for anybody else asking to work with me, but I never were asked to work with anybody. I may have asked to not work with a couple people. Let's say I don't want to roll around the ring with a fat guy named Vader. Oh, okay, you won't have to. That worked out well.
All right, well, they did listen to you then. Okay.
Well, I don't know if they listened. Jody Hamilton was the guy who booked WCW stuff, and he just made sure I never had to work the big beast of stiffenum.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to get your back broken, for one thing.
Or anything else. I was the next match out after he broke that guy's back.
Joe Thurman? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I had to work with Tom Zink, and everybody knows how hard that is. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Compared to Vader, okay. It's like...
Question number two for you, Bob. Do you feel that the role of an enhancement talent has changed in a positive or negative way in recent years?
I would say it's negative and positive both. It's positive in some sense because who wants to watch guys just get beat up by a so-called superstar? And it's negative because none of the guys that used to do that are making any money doing it anymore. You go back and watch the old TBS shows, which are popping up on the WWE Network now, and sometimes you don't really even want to watch that. People like to fantasize that those shows were so much better than today until you actually watch them and go, well, geez, there's a whole lot of talking and a whole lot of nothing going on in the ring. Oh, wait, there's Flair and Ronnie Garvin. Cool. That's really cool. At least you got that.
Kylan?
And my final question for you, sir. Do you think that if you were to try to get into the wrestling business today as opposed to when you did, that there would be a proper place for you to make a good living and be treated well?
No, it's very unlikely nowadays. There's less places to wrestle. There's less schools worth training guys. I mean, you got guys nowadays that open a school because they bought a ring off of High Spots and learned on some DVD they bought how to be a wrestler. And then you got guys that buy into it and pay them to train them to be, you know, like breeding. It's like a disease that's taken over. You got guys that don't know what they're doing training guys that continue to go on to not know what they're doing to train more guys that don't know what they're doing. And then there's nowhere to wrestle except the independent circuit, unless you get really lucky and get to go to Next or whatever, Nexus or whatever they call it.
All right, Kylan. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah, it's easier than ever to get in wrestling, but it's harder than ever to ever make it. Not that
okay.
I would know what it's like to make it, but you know what I mean.
Well, I understand completely. All right. Well, Kylan drops off, and that
Thank
opens
you.
Up a line for you, 646-721-9828. pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com is the other way to reach us. I'm going to take a question. So we have an email question. Let's take it. It is Manuel from Belgium, who, let's see, after some preliminaries here, Manuel asks, why is the stock price of WWE still going strong after all this bad news, bad ratings, bad shows, and overall totally bad results? Let's see. Maybe it has to do with no competition jumping in when the product's down and out. I think that a lot of the people who buy stock are not the same people who are professional wrestling fans. So the word that there are a couple bad shows and that the ratings are slipping, that might trickle down to them eventually, but not right at the moment. Bob, I don't know how your portfolio is, but do you have any ideas on that?
Well, I mean, if you look at the WWE's financials, they're not, you know, that's what we that
not
should
starving.
Be worried about if you're a stock guy to realize the company's, at least from what I've seen, is pretty healthy for the most part. I mean, they got three announcers on every show. They can't be hurting too bad. Get rid of some of those announcers. We don't need them. I say we fire Booker T, the Byron Island looking guy. I can't think of all the names.
His name is actually Byron, but okay.
Oh, that's weird.
Well, yeah, that's kind of neat. All right. Well, that answers that. Let's go back to the telephones. We've got.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
How you doing, Ryan?
Yeah. First question for Bob is. You could have gotten repackaged with a gimmick. What gimmick would you used in WCW?
Well, I don't know. Usually it's not up to the guy.
Okay, but let's say you were starting out. Did you have a preferred choice of gimmick?
Not really, which is probably why I am sitting here right now doing nothing. But I just
like
being a pro wrestler. Like I said, I've said many times, I hate the term enhancement talent. I hate the term jobber. I like the term pro wrestler that just didn't win too often. Because people think of you as a lower life form when you're supposedly a jobber or an enhancement talent. We all trained in the same gyms. We all went to the same wrestling school. Not the same wrestling school, but trained the same way. We all go up and down the same road, stay in the same hotels, and have things going on with the same rats back in the day. That's a little weird.
Yeah, just a bit. Okay, but you were, let's see, in addition to being Bob Cook, you were occasionally a masked superstar. You were Piranha Steel. What were your thoughts about being, what were your thoughts about that? Was that a good gimmick for you? Or?
I mean, it was just, hey, Bob, you're ugly, put a mask on, we'll call you Piranha Steel. Hey, I get it, fine. No, but the cool part about that was that Angelo Poffo was my manager. It was a brief gimmick for the global wrestling here in Florida when it started in 80.
Right.
I think it was the first company actually that had went public with stock back in the day. I only worked for them for the first TV taping because I went somewhere else afterwards, and the guy that booked the show got mad at me because I went somewhere else afterwards.
Right. Okay.
But it was fun.
All right. Let's see. Ryan?
Your second question is, do you think was the most ever pushed wrestler in WCW or the NWA besides Big Van Vader?
What was that again?
Most overpushed wrestler in WCW while you were there?
Oh, overpushed. Maybe Luger? I don't know. I mean, they pushed him pretty hard for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know if he called overpushed, though. They're always trying to, they want to make somebody a star. They're going to push him as much as they want. Like everybody says, Roman Reigns is being shoved down their throats. No, he's not. The guy's a hell of a worker. Get over yourselves. What do you people want? You're just jealous because he has long hair. Most of you are fat and bald.
And my final question is,
go on.
Ever the New Breed or the Mob Squad, who was the better tag team?
Huh.
Oh, the New Breed.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I don't know.
Okay.
But I knew Chris Jericho for many years, so I got to side with Chris.
Right.
And Sean. I haven't seen Sean in years. I don't know if he's even alive. Is he alive?
That I would have to look. Okay. I'll be doing that while Ryan signs off here.
Okay, thanks, Paul.
Ryan?
Thanks, Pat.
No problem. All right. Well, Ryan drops off.
Bye-bye.
That's a bit loud. At 646-721-9828, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com is the other way to reach us. Let's see. Chris Champion and Sean Royal. Okay, no. Oh, jeez. Okay, there's let's see. This is the problem with finding these things online, because there was a new breed in the WWE version of ECW. Jeez, let's see. And that's where this directs me to. All right, I'm going to have to. Okay, here we go. Chris Champion and Sean Royal. Well, I'm going to Wikipedia, which of course is the source for all accurate information, as you know.
Oh yeah, I mean nobody can change that stuff.
All right, Sean Royal started wrestling in that, right? Let's see. Last entry for him was him working in 2001 in NWA Wildside. So, have not heard anything about him, good or bad. That probably
That's
means he's still
thing.
Alive, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually that means nope. usually that means he's alive.
I know Chris All Champion right, is because they did a benefit for him recently in Tennessee.
Okay. There you go. We're going to go now to the 515 area code. All right, 515, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Bob Cook.
Hi there. This is Neil from Des Moines, Iowa.
Hi, Neil. Hi, Neil. What's your question? Yep.
Yeah, well, I just kind of find it, I know that a lot of wrestlers have had problems with their addictions, and a lot of people do. And
yeah.
I just kind of found it offsetting how this interview started. I know it was tongue-in-cheek, I hope, but, you know, it's a stereotype that is somewhat true, but I don't know. I just didn't care for it, I guess.
Okay.
That's, you can't let them all.
Comment.
I just woke up.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go take more steroids and drink more because of that, and now I'm depressed. I'm going to pop pills now. I was just going to drink. Now I'm going to pop pills, too. Thanks, pal.
Okay.
Welcome.
Anything else to share?
Nope. Nope, that's it.
Okay, well, thank you for dropping by.
Thank you.
Yes.
Sorry, I hurt his feelings. I didn't mean to do that.
Yes, well, you know, I mean, this is a professional wrestling podcast, Bob. You know that we try very hard not to hurt people's feelings. Okay. Now, when you were on last time, you started to tell a story, and we got interrupted about the time Sting saved you from being chewed out by Cowboy Bill Watts. Do you want to go back into that, or?
Well, I don't care. I mean, it was just one of those things. Like, you know, Watts was known to tell guys what he thought and do it very loudly in a room by themselves, and I did a match with Sting where, you know, when you work with Sting, you sit in a dressing room with him and you could call the whole match and he'd put his makeup on and he'd just go with the flow, you know. And I like to do comedy stuff once in a while, you know, where I jump over the top rope and trip and come in the ring and trip, different stupid things. And I was telling him you know, all this stuff, and he goes, yeah, sounds good. And Michael Hayes was sitting there, and he goes, oh, Watts is going to hate that. He goes, I love it. Go ahead and do it, but Watts is going to hate it. And Sting goes, ah, fuck, Watts will do it. Oh, geez, I'm sorry. I used a bad word. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But anyway. Anyways, he said, forget Watts. Do it anyways. We went out there and did it, and when we got back, Watts was like, whose idea was all that crap? I don't need that in my TV show. And Sting said, oh, that was my idea. And then Watts went. Then Watts just said, "Well, okay, just don't do it again."
Grumble. Yeah.
Right. Which was so, you know, he saved me from getting yelled at. He could have easily said, "Well, Bob wanted to do it." You know, I mean, it's not a compelling story, but you know,
it's a story. All right. Speaking of stories, we have actually this is a question, so we'll take that. It comes from our chat room at pwtorchlivecast.com from our man Chicky Singer. Chicky wants to know, Bob, who do you think should have gotten the Barry Horowitz push in WCW, the wrestler, the enhancement wrestler, scoring the big upset victory?
Well, me, of course. Who else? I'm just kidding. You know,
okay.
I never thought about that stuff.
Well, we'll assume
wasn't
that.
Wasn't my position to care. What?
Who is the second most deserving?
That's a real tough question because I got to think back who was there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, heck.
Well, let me start going
through.
I mean, let me start thinking about the episodes that are up on the network right now. Tony Zane, let's see, the Cruel Connection, George South.
I mean, George was a great worker. He could have been a junior heavyweight champion or something. You know, Denny Brown was a junior heavyweight champion, and both of them were really, really good workers.
Yeah. Okay.
George, like you know, like proof still today, he loves the business as much as anybody, and traveling up and down the roads every week doing it. And he's a great guy too, if you don't know him.
Okay, yeah. George has actually been on the live cast before. I think Bruce Mitchell was hosting that day, but yeah, okay, very popular choice. Let's see here. So I'm thinking back. Okay, so when did you? Okay, I've read that your WCW career pretty much was 1988 through 1994. Was that is that accurate? Did you work before that? Did you work for them before that or after that or?
No, that was it. It was in 98, first time I worked for him, and then last time was in
88.
94, something like that.
Okay. So I'll try to get – well, I'm going to go look this up here in a second and try to figure out what was – who else would have been a candidate for that. But, yeah, I mean, people say that there aren't, you know, enhancement performers anymore, and I, you know, every week I can – every week I can tune onto the WWE Network and watch Heath Slater lose as he goes for like 0 and 500. Do you think that's
every week?
You think
you must watch
Superstars.
Yes. Yeah, I was gonna say, you must watch the shows other than Raw and SmackDown because I don't see them on those shows.
Right, but what I'm saying is, yeah, they obviously do have enhancement performers. They just don't call them that. I mean, they're not enhancement performers, but pro wrestlers who lose a lot.
I recently saw how WWE categorized jobbers or whatever they like to call them, and they essentially called them props.
Oh,
as part of their lawsuit. That doesn't seem very smart to me to basically treat them as though they're nothing. It's one thing to do that when you're there, but when you're a lawsuit, you should at least say, yeah, and, you know, don't blow them off as nothing more than just a prop, because that makes them seem kind of that they don't care about them, which they don't, but they don't care about anybody.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about anybody.
No, that's true. I mean, I think I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, people complain about Vince being the evil, you know, dictator of wrestling, and he treats people like crap. Well, guess what, people? If you work at Walmart, Target, Kmart, McDonald's, Wendy's, Arby's, or the local bar down this road, your boss is going to be a jerk, and you're going to think that regardless. Vince is no different than anybody else. He's just a little more wealthy.
Well, just a bit, yeah. But now that, unfortunately, you're correct about that. Let's see. I'm looking up the names of great jobbers from 1988, or at least jobbers. Tony Suber. Let's see. Ooh, Alan Martin. I don't know. Yeah, Tommy Angel and Cougar J. Well, there's a great tag team there. All right. We do have a chat room question, Bob. What is your funniest Kevin Sullivan story?
Oh. I don't have any real funny Kevin Sullivan. What, I mean,
are there funny Kevin Sullivan stories?
I don't know. I mean, Kevin's always been really, you know, super nice to me and helped me a lot over the years. I saw him in Las Vegas at the Cauliflower Alley Club last year, this year, in April. He's, you know, just a great guy. I think one of the funnier things, Billy Jack Haynes, who's a loon, who's a goof, who's an idiot, who's got a concussion, I guess, and suing everybody and wants money for doing nothing. Worked for a company for less than 2 years, and he wants money. Strange. Hey, I worked for him for less than a year. I want some money, but I ain't asking for it. Anyways,
right.
Billy Jack was in a dress room telling the stupidest story about something to do with a cow, having sex. I don't know. It's probably a personal thing. But he's telling this stupid story, and he gets to whatever the punchline was, and he starts laughing like a hyena. Everybody in the dress room stared at him like he is a hyena. And Kevin Sullivan looks at him. He gets up to Billy, and he goes, Billy, that's the stupid blanking story I've ever heard in my life. And he just walked away. And I laughed my ass off at that.
Yeah. Okay, well done.
Yeah, that's, you know.
All right, let's see.
But Billy Jack's always been a loon.
Yeah, he was I think he's been a loon for multiple promotions over several years. Okay. Let's see. All right. Of all the major shows you got to work for WCW, what was your favorite?
Oh heck, I don't know. I mean, I just like being there. I can't specifically say what was my favorite. I think I can't even remember where they were, but I used to base what the favorite place to go based on what the catering was, because some places you'd go and the catering was crap. And I would say I did the Clash of Champions that one time, where me and Joe Cruz were the headhunters and we wrestled some Japanese guys.
Oh,
and the
steak,
they had steak for catering that night, and that was really good.
Holy cow. All right,
whole match in the dressing room because the Japanese guys pretended not to speak English, I think.
Well, yeah. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Yeah, there you are. Okay, Charleston, South Carolina, McAllister Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
Which actually, Raw's going to be in Charleston on Monday. So there you go. It's relevant and timely. If they're serving steak, that is.
Yeah, but that's why. I mean, when it comes to the TV and doing that kind of stuff, for the most part, for me, it was all the same. You know, I just liked being there. I wasn't somebody who didn't complain about anything and didn't worry about anything other than maybe get hurt. But nobody ever hurt me on purpose. I don't think. Ron Simmons blacked my eye once.
Yeah.
But I think I've told this story before. He didn't do it on purpose, I don't think.
Right. Makes sense. All right, chat room question for you. Who did you wrestle in your retirement match, and who would you like to wrestle in your retirement match?
Well, I'm actually going to wrestle again in January, so there's no really. I don't think anybody really retires. But the last match WCW, the last match I had was the Road Dogg, Jesse James, in a dark match.
Okay.
But the last match I had before, it was just an indie show match, with a guy named Buck Quartermain, who's a great guy, great worker.
Huh.
But I wrestled last year, actually.
You're with him? All right. But you don't know who you're wrestling next month?
Not exactly. It's like 6 weeks away. I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow, actually.
Mm.
No, but I don't know. I mean, who can you have a retirement match with that would matter at this point? I mean, and it's just going to be some independent show, and I'll probably never completely retire because I have a sickness.
Mm. Well, I mean, it would matter to you who you wrestled in your last match, in theory.
Well, I mean, when it comes to doing that, the independent stuff, I wrestle people. I want to work with people that I know that aren't going to hurt me on purpose or that they're just idiots. I want to, I talked earlier about the disease going through wrestling of untrained guys training more untrained guys, unless you go to the Dudley School, and then, of course, you're going to learn that. But let's not talk about that.
Yeah. Okay.
You learn how to throw punches like Bubba Ray was on Monday night. Way to go, man.
Okay. Let's go back to the telephones to the 347 area code. 347, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Bob Cook. Hello.
Hey, this is Jonathan from New York.
How you doing, Jonathan?
Well, that was a good topic that you guys mentioned about why when it comes, because the other day I was listening, I was looking at the interview with Al Snow. He mentions a lot also the same thing about, anybody could be a trainer now. Like, why people are doing that right now? Why? What's the point of people training when they never were wrestlers before? Like, basically, now anybody could be a wrestler. Because that could be very dangerous if you don't have the proper trainer, to be a wrestler.
Well, Bob, I mean, you're the expert here, but I'm going to guess that they're doing it to make money. Do you have anything to...
I don't know if they actually make money, because I found even back in the days of my time that, when I went to the Great Malenko School, you always had people that would come in and say, well, I can't pay you this week. I can't, and I think, people, when they find out they got to pay to train, I tried to do some wrestling training years ago, and because I hate people and I don't have any patience, it didn't work out too well. But you always had people that are just, they don't want to pay or they can't pay or whatever their excuse is. Even though they can smoke cigarettes and drink beer before they get to the training school, they can't afford to pay the school. But... I think the reason people do it is the same reason we all did, is because you love it. You just don't realize you're crap, and you think you're doing a good job, but it turns out you're not.
Well,
they think they know what they're doing. I mean, no one is going in there going, I know I suck, but I'm going to train you anyway. They're not going to tell you that, and they don't believe it.
No. What?
It just happens that they do. The misfortune of life, believing in yourself. Who should do that? When you shouldn't believe in yourself, no matter what.
Words to live by. Okay, Jonathan?
Oh, Pat, I got a question about the current product, about what's going on with Roman Reigns and everybody. So,
okay.
The other day, on Monday, I remember when I was listening to the show, to you and
James, yeah.
I don't remember. Yeah, James. When it comes to Roman Reigns and how damaged he is right now, because I really don't think that there's a comeback. I don't think there will be a comeback with him, because he's so damaged that what else can he do Like, I know everybody talks about him turning heel, but I think even if he turns heel, that would be not much help. Because let's say if he goes against, who is he going to go against to that later in the future? Can he turn babyface again? Because the same thing is going to be like, okay, they're turning heel, and then in the future they're going to make us, you know, they're going to show up you-know-what again to make him a champion. Thanks.
Okay, well, I think I've given in the past two perfectly valid answers for how to get people to cheer Roman Reigns. Number one, turn him heel and have Paul Heyman manage him and cut his promos. Problem solved. Number two is you send Roman Reigns on the tour of all the instead of John Cena, you send Roman Reigns on a tour of all the NBC television shows, having him give out Superman punches at each shelf. You know, once he gives a Superman punch to Matt Lauer and another one to Bob Costas, I think people will be cheering him. Hold on.
You know, I was just looking up on the internet. I'm trying to find Roman Reigns' phone number so I can break the bad news to him. I can say, Roman, I got bad news for you. You're only 30 years old, but you're already washed up. You're only 30 years old, your career's over. You're only 30 years old, and you busted your butt to get where you are, but
his
you're already a piece of garbage.
Over.
I can't take the attitude that people have about Roman Reigns. I think the kid's a great worker. He's already washed
Roman,
up. What are we going to do with him? He's being shoved down our throats. Nobody's being shoved down your throats.
Anything that's any reason that what's happening with Roman Reigns is not the fault of Roman Reigns. Okay, I mean he's a wrestler. He shows up. You know, he's a wrestler. He has had good matches, so we know that that's not his problem. And he's pretty much doing exactly what he's being told.
Yeah, and he's not being shoved down people's throat. If he was being shoved down people's throat, he'd be in every single segment of the show. But guess what? He's not. What is he on the show? 15, 20 minutes a week at the most. Come on, people.
All right. Well, Jonathan?
Who do you want him to do? You want him to bring back Zack Ryder and shove him down your throat? You want him to bring back Brad Maddox and shove him down your throat? Who's being shoved down your throat? Nobody. I say we
Triple
bring
H,
back Hulk Hogan.
Stephanie?
Right?
Okay. Anyway.
Pass Junkyard Dog Dolls out to everybody.
Okay. Let's try this again. Let's go back to the telephones, this time to the 952 area code. 952, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Bob Cook. 952?
Hello?
Hello. Yes. Name and town.
Hey, hello, guys. How you guys doing? This is Brian from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hey, how you doing, Brian? You got any questions for Bob?
My one question was kind of a comment, which she was just talking about, which was Roman Reigns being kind of shoved down our throats. And I have to agree. I mean, if you go just on WWE Shop alone, which I was doing for Christmas shopping, he has more T-shirts than just about anyone else in the company, and he has the most amount of reworks in those. So he gets different branding. So, someone like a Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
No, but Dolph Ziggler is going to get one branding for a year. Well, someone like John Cena is going to lead in the marketing because he's going to get more options. So I'm just saying they're definitely giving him more opportunities than are afforded other people. Certain people are chosen, like a Sheamus. So
he's shoved down your throat. Somehow they've got some kind of like a mechanism that takes your arm, and when you're watching that, looking at WWEShopZone.com, your arm's being twisted by WWE some weird way, and you're buying his stuff. That's not shoving down his throat. Obviously, his stuff sells. They don't waste money on merchandise that don't sell. Shoved down their throat. That makes me sick. If you go to WWEShopZone.com and type in Roman Reigns' name, then you're going to look for Roman Reigns' stuff. Clearly, merchandise sells.
Roman Reigns is positioned in the prime in where it is because, A, he headlined WrestleMania last year. B, he is probably going to headline WrestleMania again this year. And, you know, I think that the top guys do get prime positioning. And, you know, right now, and he's wrestling, he's headlining the next pay-per-view. I would think that as the babyface, I would think those are reasons that you'd have lots of his stuff available to buy.
Yeah, and how awful was that match at WrestleMania this year? Oh, my goodness. He don't deserve to even be on the show anymore after that.
That was a great match, yes.
I know, so I agree.
Yeah, and
the guy
you know
busts
what they could have
butt every match. What the heck's wrong with people? What do they want the guy to do? He busts his ass every single week. What do you want the guy to do? Just because he's not super still Billy Graham on the microphone, guess what? Name anybody in the company that's great on the microphone nowadays.
Nobody. That's the point. That's the issue. You finally, you said it, is that everyone is neutered in
and
that company in a lot of ways. No one is allowed to fully excel. They limit you. Because, like, I talked about it last week on the live cast. I predicted it. As soon as Sheamus won on Sunday, I said, I bet you on Monday, Triple H's music, The Authority opens the opening segment at the top of the show. And through it all, they will play out. So it's not Sheamus the champion's music. It's them. Everyone is neutered.
Yeah.
That's the issue, is that you can't invest. I'm not against Roman Reigns. I mean, some of the things he has said have rubbed me the wrong way. You know, the entitlement in some way. I don't like that personally, but I don't hate him for his performance in the ring. What I don't like is not giving others an opportunity, the ones that the fans are cheering for, not to say you have to put Kevin Owens in the main event, but to completely dismiss some of the and I think of Daniel Bryan, rubbing people's noses in the dog crap for choosing someone that they haven't chosen themselves in the company.
Well, having the Authority figure storyline still going after, you know, 17 years, and if you'll remember, they were doing this with Triple H and Stephanie running the Authority 15 years ago. I mean, I think that might be the big that's one of the two big problems they have right now. And
I mean,
how much money
do they draw? How much has the Authority ever drawn? You know what I mean? Like, you guys are talking about being shoved down my throat. Stone Cold Steve Austin was shoved down my throat, like, as a teenager, but I loved it. I couldn't consume enough of it because there was this there was a consensus amongst everyone. It's his time. This guy is now the guy. Not a lot of, like, naysayers. And if they were there, they were tuned out by the overabundance of cheers for him. Roman Reigns, on the contrary, keeps getting chances and is not, in fans' eyes, the chosen one, I feel like. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Well, let me bounce this a different way, and I want to get Bob involved in this. Lance Storm's theory about this, and is the one that I like to use. He's pointed out that, you know, for the past few years, the Authority, you know, the storyline is that the Authority chooses the champion that they want, and that the guy that they don't want is the underdog, and you should cheer for them, and you should hate the guy they've chosen. So when they act like they've chosen, so when the fans act like, you know, when WWE acts like they're choosing Roman Reigns, and their Authority figures are choosing Roman Reigns, the fans react like, hey, the company's behind Roman Reigns. This has to be a bad guy, so we should be booing him and cheering for the guy that they're not pushing.
It's definitely one of them. Mm. Thanks, guys.
All right, no problem, Brian. Yeah, I'm sorry. I really did not mean to depress anybody, but that's kind of my opinion. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's stop that now. Okay. On that note, you want to go back to the phones, Bob?
Sure. Shove somebody down our throats.
Well, let's shove somebody down our throats right now. We're going to go to the 773 area code. 773, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Bob Cook. How you doing, Boris?
Boris from Chicago.
Your timing is excellent, as always.
Thank you. Continue with the theme of shoving down our throat.
Mm-hmm.
What diva would you like to be shoved down your throat at this point in time? Or
you mean, so to speak. So to speak.
Which one? I can tell you which one I don't. That's Nia Jax.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, different strokes for, you know, I'm sure there are some. Anyway, moving on.
Okay.
But do you have any favorites among the young lady wrestlers of the WWE, Bob? I'm sure is what he's asking.
I like the divas myself, and I think most of them can work when they're given an opportunity to do it and showcase. And that includes the Bellas, all you haters out there.
True.
I don't like necessarily how they're treated sometimes. Like, you know, they have a three-hour show, and to me the solution to the three-hour show is that you just give the matches more time to develop, and, you know, it's more fun if the match isn't 5 minutes.
No. Bob, obviously WWE has figured out that people want less wrestling on their three-hour show and more talking.
Oh, because to me, a three-hour show would be really easy to fill. You got a whole bunch of people who want to work. The wrestlers don't want to go 5 minutes. I know that for a fact. Except maybe the big show, he probably don't even want to go 2 minutes because that takes him away from the catering, you know, him and Kevin Owens. But you still, longer matches, less yapping. I like that.
Okay.
Like, I thought Becky Lynch and Charlotte had a hell of a match on Raw this week.
They did, actually. Yeah. Okay, those are two fine choices, I think, for us.
Yes. I have a question about you, because you said you don't like calling enhanced. You know, this is the modern way they call them real wrestlers. Because if you think about, you know, Joey Maggs and Barry Horse, they were excellent wrestlers because they, you know, helped to get the main stars over, however you want to do it. Have you ever met other, you know, who do you know that you liked or met that, you know, wasn't going to be a main superstar in a program?
Okay, Bob, do you guys have a convention every year that, I mean, not Cauliflower Alley, but, you know, a
what, a jobber convention?
I wouldn't. Well, we don't call them that, but yeah.
No, I you know,
a convention
I do,
for pro wrestlers who lose more often than they win. Yes.
No, but I got along with most of the guys. You know, I wasn't a troublemaker.
Well, that's good to know.
But we go to a thing in Tampa every 3 months called a Legends Lunch that Brian Blair puts on, and all a bunch of us old wrestlers get together and tell stories and lie a little bit.
All right. Kind of
I
like
I bought a book at
podcast.
The last one. We went last Friday, and I bought a book from Buddy Colt.
Ah. Well, how was his book? I haven't read it.
I don't know. I haven't read it yet. I just looked at the pictures.
Okay,
my last question. I haven't received it, but this infamous survey email by WWE, actually, what do you watch? Are you changing your channel? All this. If I was to change the channel, you know, I would change it for, to watch Netflix, which is, you know, Jessica Jones or whatever those, because they got great heels and stuff like that. What are you watching that you would change the channel from? You know, change the channel. Just going on the change the channel thing. What are you watching outside of, you know, WWE program?
Me?
Okay.
I watch Nashville. I love Nashville. I started watching Orange is the New Black on Netflix. I think that's a great show. I like The Walking Dead. I like Last Man on Earth. That's the ones I can think off the top of my head. But I don't not watch Raw or SmackDown. I watch the shows because I love wrestling, and I've always taken the good with the bad. When the bad is on, I watch it, and I go, I move on with my life. It's not going to change my life one way or the other if the show's good or bad. I'm not going to go into a deep depression when it's bad. I'm not going to go celebrate and buy a new car when it's good. I watch the show and I move on because I'm a wrestling fan. I'm not a fly-by-night fan. I'm not a fake sports fan like most people. They go, I can't wait for football season to start. Oh, my team's going to do good this year. Two games in, they're like, oh, hell with this team. I'm not watching anymore. They're not really fans. They just want to be part of something that's winning. If you love wrestling, you watch it till the end. You take the good with the bad and you watch it. But if you're a jackass and you just think everything should be to your liking every single week, then, you know, like, I hate Morgan on The Walking Dead, but I'm not going to stop watching The Walking Dead because he's still alive. I hope he's not soon, but I hate him.
I hate Ward on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because, like I said, he's not redeemable. They should have knocked him off a long time ago, and he's continuing to do a more than heelish things, you know, and I really have a passionate hate for this character, which is great because that's what he's there for. You know, there's a lot of characters. That's why I wish that we can get back to heels being allowed to be heels and faces being faces, so we can have someone that, I just can't take this guy. You know what I'm saying? When the Freebirds came to town, when they was heels, I couldn't stand them. I could not stand them because they was just, can we, you know, get knock these guys off, and they did their job. They get out there and was able to be heels. I wish we could get back to that part of wrestling, which is heels and faces.
Well, I mean, the problem I think is, you know, WWE when they try real hard to create baby faces, you know, people who parents can take their kids to see and all that. These people might be baby faces with one group, but they're heels to, like, the adult males who also watch Raw and pay their money That's an issue. It's not necessarily something. I mean, WWE has obviously been working through that for several years with John Cena, and they haven't seemed to have a problem making money off of it. But maybe that's something they need to address if they want a character to get over with the adult male audience.
Thanks, Pat. How was your Thanksgiving, by the way? Happy.
It was good. It was good. Yeah. And how was yours, Boris?
Excellent, as always. A lot of stuffing.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Nobody shoved turkey down your throat.
Yes. They shoved mashed potatoes down your throat.
They have a problem with Roman Reigns being shoved down their throat, but they don't have no problem with turkey being shoved down their throat.
Usually don't. Now, that's a good one.
Awesome.
Thank you, Boris. All right, Boris drops off. That opens up a line for you, 646-721-9828, coming near the end of our hour together with Bob Cook. By the way, coming up at the bottom of the hour on most of these Blog Talk radio stations, you can listen to the East Coast cast, Travis Bryant and Bardray Purnell, talking about the current wrestling scene. For that program, unlike ours, parental discretion is advised. Okay, how was your Thanksgiving, Bob?
It was very quiet. My wife, who I haven't talked to in months, I still don't talk to, so it was very nice and quiet, just me and my dog.
Oh, okay.
I have a son, but he didn't invite me over for Thanksgiving dinner because he knows I hate kids, so that worked out good.
Yeah, worked out nice for all concerned. And next Monday, I expect to pass up Raw because I have actually been a Washington Redskins fan for 35 years, and they'll be playing the Dallas Cowboys, and what might be a brutally awful game, but they're my team, so I'll be watching that live and watching wrestling some other way.
Do watch the show, right? You may not watch it on Monday, but you watch it.
Of course I'm going to watch the show.
Oh, okay. So there you go. That's the problem. We have people who just quit watching. I see people online always talking about how I haven't watched the WWE in years because it sucks. Well, guess what? What's your frame of reference if you don't watch it?
Yeah. Complaining about it while not watching it, how do you know what's going on?
I can't remember the last time I watched a pay-per-view and went, oh, this sucked. I think all their pay-per-views have been pretty solid in the last few months.
I've almost never had a problem with the wrestling on a WWE show, but, I can question, gee, this might not have been a good idea, or, gee, this wrestler maybe shouldn't be a babyface, should be a heel, that sort of thing.
Did you guys talk about the Charlotte mentioning her brother on Raw and all the hubbub people went and flipped out over that like a bunch of sissies?
Yeah, it turns out.
I personally thought it was great.
Okay, well, one of the people who I guess flipped out would be Ric Flair.
Well, you know what happens at his age. You get loony.
Okay. Well, there you go.
You think back, Michael Hayes and Mike Graham and all them did the same angle 30 years ago when Eddie Graham died, but they did it 2 months after he died. The kid's been dead for three years, and they didn't mention, and Charlotte didn't mention him, you know. She did it in the context of what she said in real life, that she got into business to honor him. And she just mentioned it, and then Paige said what she said. I thought it was great.
They have definitely done worse. The real question is, did that make you want to see the match more?
Sure. They didn't sit there and say, and her sister didn't go, oh, maybe you'll die of a heroin overdose like your brother. Boo! He didn't do that.
That would have been awkward.
People are oversensitive, you know. You know, if they wouldn't have done that, nobody would have even been talking about that match before the Sunday had happened.
Okay, well, what do you
people
think of the Divas Revolution?
I don't think anything's off limits when it comes to wrestling, personally. I mean, back in the old days, if you had a car accident, you blamed it on the heel, you know. They always find a way to interchange real life with storylines.
Sabotaging cars, yeah. That's okay.
I thought the Divas Revolution was going good for a while, but then they just kind of like, you know, they don't give them the time that they. Yeah.
Yeah. If they wind up, it's kind of hard to have a revolution if they wind up treating you the exact same way, and you know your matches aren't getting time. Although I have seen some Divas matches get TV time, and that is good.
Oh yeah, heck! On the Nexus show, that Bayley and I can't even remember who
Sasha.
She worked now, but they had a hell of a match. Was like 30-minute Iron Man match, whatever it was.
That was a great
match.
Pretty good. They were. Mm-hmm. And,
but lately, that show's been stinking too.
Well, we can. The thing with that show is, first of all, it's an hour as opposed to 3 hours. I think that helps a lot. And secondly, there's no question usually that that's a wrestling show. I mean, you're not going to get, you know, Triple H and Stephanie aren't going to come out and cut a 20-minute promo during NXT because, well, for one thing, there's not time to do that.
Yeah,
you know
it's
what I'm
just,
saying?
But lately the show's just been weak. I mean, there's a lot of short matches, and who really wants to see Samoa Joe wrestle Finn Balor? I know I don't. I'd rather watch Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens have a pie-eating contest just for the kicks and giggles as opposed to watch them in the ring against Finn Balor.
All right. We're probably going to have to leave it at that note, Bob.
And quite honestly, I think Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens would rather have a pie-eating contest, just judging from appearances.
Well, okay. I'd rather have a pie-eating contest than fight Samoa Joe, so I can dig that.
I agree.
Anyway, tomorrow, Wade Keller is hosting. I don't remember who his guest is, but go ahead and look that up. And, of course, we'll be back here next Wednesday. I have no idea who the guest will be next Wednesday either, but it'll all work out. Bob, want to thank you again for being on. Can you tell us which show you're going to who you're going to be working for next month and where the match is going to be?
It'll be in Bradenton, Florida. I don't really know the name of the company. Yeah, it's just an independent show that I'm helping put together. And
okay.
I'm sure I'll embarrass myself greatly.
Okay, well, that's part of what the pro wrestling business is about, you know, especially if you're a
that's
heel.
True. I used to tell people, I'm not a fool. I just play one on TV.
That's exactly. All right. Well, Bob, again, many thanks. How can people follow you via social media if they are so inclined?
Well, I'm just on Facebook, and I also somehow I've been connected to Twitter. I don't know, because every time I post something on Facebook, it shows up on Twitter, so, you know.
Yeah, I've got an app that does that, too, so. Yeah. Well,
I'm
actually,
not complaining.
No, I've got one.
I got 800 and some followers on Twitter who, for some reason, aren't smart enough to unfollow me. I don't know.
Right. Well, I'm one of them. Okay. And, let's see. Bob's Twitter is, hold on, where are we got here? Evil Eye 1, E-V-E-L as in Evil Knievel, I-E-Y-E, the number 1. So,
that's the name of
Bob.
Evil Knievel's yacht in the 1970s for you trivia buffs out there.
I did not know that.
No,
again,
you didn't.
I was kind of, yep, okay.
Are you gonna,
Bob,
were you
going
to say
you
were too young to know? Oh, that hurt.
I wasn't, no, of course not. Evil Knievel was definitely alive when I was, well, actually was alive up until recently, and some of his big jumps I missed, you know.
He was my favorite person on earth and a friend of mine, and he passed away November 30th, 2007, and that's too close to that. I hate hearing about it.
All right. Well, on that note, Bob, again, thanks again. We will definitely have you back on the program to talk about professional wrestling and maybe some of the stuff that happened in the good old days. And I'd like to thank all of you for listening. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow, and we'll be back doing the live cast next week. Same Pat time, same Pat channel. Good night, everybody.